Well, good morning and happy Mother's Day to all our moms. It's a great day to celebrate our mothers this morning, and that's something we want to do. They do a lot for us, and we're just wanting to lift them up and encourage them on this special day today. If you're visiting with us, we're glad to have you. We would love to have you anytime, and we're just glad to have you here this morning with us. Hopefully everyone's got good plans for this afternoon with their moms and celebrating with their families. Well, in 1872, there was a British historian, and he was an essayist, philosopher. He had done a lot. His name was Thomas Carlyle, and he was fascinated by this Victorian-era painting that he saw. It was painted by an artist named James Abbott McNeill Whistler, and he agreed to sit down and to be a model for this painter because he really liked this painting that he saw. And so this painter was going to paint him for this picture. And it was, let's see, my pointer's not working here. Somebody help me with my pointer. There it goes. This painting became titled and known as Arrangement in Gray and Black, Number 2. What a great name for a painting, right? Well, this painter, James Whistler, he was a huge proponent of this philosophy that was known at the time as art for art's sake. Art for art's sake. It's a phrase that expresses this philosophy about true art and how it is utterly independent of any and all social values and utilitarian function. He just says, let's paint for painting's sake, let's have art for art's sake, because it's great to look at such beautiful things like that. And these kinds of works of art are sometimes described as complete in and of themselves. That's how they're viewed. Well, everyone called James Whistler's art portraits. And he didn't like that name, portrait. He didn't think that what he was doing was a portrait. He felt like there was an artistic value to what he was doing, which is why he named it Arrangement in Gray and Black, Number 2, and not Portrait of Thomas Carlyle. So he thought this was an insult to him to call it a portrait. He viewed his work as more than just a portrait, but the Royal Academy of Art rejected his work. They just saw it as a portrait. And you may know the original work of art that James Whistler painted. It was called Arrangement in Gray and Black, Number 1. Do you know that title? It's very similar, right? He knew that this Victorian-era viewing audience, that they would not accept that this portrait would be exhibited as an arrangement because they saw it as a portrait. So he added on to his painting title Number 1 a little bit of a name to the end of that that said a portrait of the painter's mother. And you may know this work simply as Whistler's Mother. This painting has become an icon in American art. Whistler's original model couldn't be there, and so his mother agreed to be a stand-in model for him. Only she's not standing, she's sitting. The original Arrangement in Gray and Black was going to be a standing model, but Anna Whistler was uncomfortable for standing for such a long time, so she is painted sitting down. This image has been repeatedly appropriated for commercial advertisements, in parodies, in movies, in television, and even Bugs Bunny cartoons. And it's been accompanied by captions such as, "The Whistler's mother is off her rocker." It's a play on words to this famous image. And without his mother, Whistler's work would probably be unknown and lost to obscurity because people just didn't value portraits. Mothers are important to us, right? Whether it be in how we are raised from our youth, helping us when we're injured, watching over us when we're sick, feeding us, and teaching us lessons about life, we can learn a lot from our mothers. For example, mothers teach us about logic. They say things like, if you fall out of that tree and break your neck, don't come crying to me. They teach us about our faith and religion. They say, you better pray that that comes out of the carpet. And mothers teach us about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. They teach us about perseverance. You are going to sit here until you eat every last piece of that broccoli. Mothers teach us about the weather. It looks like a tornado swept through your room. And mothers, they teach us about the circle of life. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out, right? There are so many lessons that we can learn from our mothers. While I am joking about these items and these sayings, we actually do learn a great deal from our mothers. You know, here's a few examples just from Scripture about what they teach us, what we learn about our mothers. The first woman, Eve, literally means the mother of all. And Sarah, the elderly mother who laughed at the notion of having children in her old age, she gave birth to Isaac. And Hannah, a mom who prayed for God to give her a child, gave birth to Samuel. And of course, we have Mary, the mother of Jesus. She gave birth to our Savior. In today's lesson on Mother's Day, we're going to hear about a mother who doesn't come up as often as we normally hear. She doesn't get as much recognition. You may have heard her story, but maybe you haven't spent some time really examining her or her faith in Jesus in this story. So if you'll turn over with me to Matthew chapter 15, we're going to read about this mother. Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse 21. Matthew 15. I'll give you a moment to turn there. We'll read Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28. Let's read this together. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. We don't know this woman's full life story. We don't hear about her before this passage. We don't know much about her. We do see that she is a Canaanite woman. She's from Canaan, the land of Canaan. We know that she has at least one child, a daughter, because this daughter is being oppressed. But we don't even know her name. And the question of the day is this: what lessons do we learn from this nameless mother in this passage this morning? So let's explore a few of these lessons that we learn and continue to follow along with me in Matthew 15. The first lesson we learn is a lesson in love. This mother, she comes out to see Jesus and she's crying with this desperate need that she has for her daughter. The girl, the little girl, was plagued with the ongoing presence of a demon or demons. The grim reality is that this mother had no hope of healing for her daughter. This mother had obviously heard about Jesus. She had heard the stories about this man who's going around and healing people, his ability to heal diseases and to cast out demons. So the love of this mother moves her to action and to seek out Jesus' help. This Canaanite woman, she loves her daughter so much that she's willing to seek out Jesus and to do whatever it would take to have Jesus help her. You notice what the mother does here in this passage. She first asks for mercy. She didn't immediately ask for Jesus to heal her daughter or give her a blessing or anything like that. She doesn't say anything about God, the Father. She doesn't speak about what kinds of things are happening to her daughter, only that she's being oppressed. The first thing this woman appeals to is the compassion of Jesus. And she pleads with him out of her own heart of compassion for her daughter to have mercy on her. Lord, have mercy on me. She acknowledges Jesus as the Messiah. This woman accepted the identity of Jesus when many Jews did not. She calls Jesus Lord and Son of David. Both of these titles are signaling the identity of who Jesus was, this Messiah, the Lord. She calls him the Lord. It's a direct title for the Christ and the Messiah. Son of David was a title that would be given to the true Messiah. We read that over 12 times in the New Testament and throughout Scripture. And this Canaanite woman, she gives Jesus this double title of Lord and Son of David. She's double acknowledging who he is and proclaiming who he is to reveal the depth of her faith. And so that's what we see in her, this lesson in love. She asks for mercy, and she shows her faith. Well, number two, we learn a lesson in perseverance. In verse 23, we see that. The disciples saw this Canaanite woman simply as a problem to be solved. They were trying to do the work of Jesus, and yet this woman kept getting in the way, causing them problems. Notice what they say to Jesus. Verse 23, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." Jesus, get her out of here. She keeps shouting at us. She's keeping us from getting a break from these crowds. We left the crowds to get a break, and here she is crying after us. The reality is that the disciples completely missed the point of ministry. Even if they didn't know it, this woman was a part of the reason why they came to this place in Tyre and Sidon. Jesus didn't answer the woman right away. Do you see that? But he was not ignoring her. There's a lesson here for the woman and for the disciples. When Jesus waits to answer, it gives the woman an opportunity to pursue her faith. And at the same time, Jesus is using this opportunity to teach his disciples about perseverance and persistence and to learn how to minister to those that might need it most. This woman, who she was unwilling to give up, she kept on seeking Jesus. She refused to give up until he answered her. Many times we see that people will start seeking Jesus, but then they give up when the answer comes too slowly or they're not seeing a result from their prayer. People start out seeking Jesus, but when they don't get what they want, they walk away. Well, part of the lesson that Jesus teaches here is it's not to give up. Don't give up. This woman was willing to be persistent and to continue to seek Jesus. Rich DeVos was the founder of Amway. You may have heard of him. He began a company that made cleaning products. But the merchandise wasn't the key to this business. It was in selling the opportunity for yourself to make money. You may have used some of these products or even been maybe convinced to become a partner and try to sell these products yourself. Amway has this reputation about it, whether it's a legal business opportunity or an illegal pyramid scheme. Something Rich DeVos once said was this about his business: persistence is stubbornness with a purpose. Now, you may not agree with the method of multi-level marketing or Amway or even Rich DeVos. You may not like him or his family. That's not the point. You may run away from them, and that's fine. But what DeVos is getting at, what I wanted to point out, was that if you're having trouble selling, be persistent. It's veiled stubbornness so that you could make money and be successful. Well, in this story today, we learn this value of being persistent. Now, I'm not saying that this woman is selling Amway or that Jesus and his disciples are selling Amway. It's not the same thing. But what I am saying is that perseverance or endurance is a key quality in our walk with God. The ability to keep on keeping on when difficult things come along is essential to personal and spiritual growth. There's no way to get through the daily rigors of life without developing this sense of perseverance in our lives. The words of Jesus and the words here apply to our life really well. We should never give up trying to do something greater for Christ's kingdom. We should never think that there is nothing for us to accomplish. We should never think that quitting is the answer. We read in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." And then in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Number three, we learn from this mom a lesson in humility. This Canaanite woman, she comes to Jesus and falls before him. Before anything more can be said, this woman is on her knees pleading to Jesus. And Jesus, again, he makes his mission clear that he has come to spread the gospel to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. The story that Jesus uses about this dinner table is not about the dog, but it's about the children. The priority is to feed the children and not the dogs. And we notice the response of the woman in verse 25. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table." What she's saying is that even the crumbs of Jesus' power is enough. The crumbs of Jesus' ability to heal can solve her problem. The woman was willing to take whatever Jesus was willing to give her, and that would be enough. What do we read about in our similar faith? Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. "He said to them, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." This woman, she not only trusted in the power of Jesus, but also in his compassion. And we learn that the proper attitude is to approach Jesus like this woman did. We need to humble ourselves before him. We need to be willing to bow in his presence and focus on him. We must be willing to surrender our pride, our will, our attitude to the lordship of Jesus. Well, what else do we learn from this Canaanite mom? We learn a lesson in faith. Jesus proclaims the faith of this nameless woman. He acknowledges and pointed directly to her faith as he grants her request. Jesus listens to the woman because of her humility and her persistence, and he answers her request because of her faith. Persistence without faith is a worthless thing, and humility without faith is pointless. Jesus spurs on this woman's faith, and she focused that faith on Jesus. We all face challenges that can help us. Challenges that help stretch and strengthen our faith. We face issues and people that might deter us in seeking him. However, Jesus makes it clear that we must be willing to press on, press forward. When we focus our faith on Jesus, we must keep on seeking his face. We press on. I want to encourage you this morning, press on. When circumstances cause us distress in our lives, press on. When people cause us to be discouraged, press on. When problems cause us to feel dismayed by the things around us and the world around us, press on. When obstacles cause us to doubt, we press on. No matter what we face, Jesus Christ can and will see us through these things in our lives. We must press on. How many of your mothers would have done the same for you as this Canaanite woman? Would she have pressed on? I would guess we could all say that our mothers would probably do this. Those of us with faithful mothers would go to Jesus to seek healing if we were sick. We love our mothers because of the way that they care for us and care about us. They bring a softer side of life to us when we need that care and compassion. This Canaanite woman is the living embodiment, living out the things that we read or that we read in our scripture reading this morning about a woman who is so precious to us. Proverbs 31, verse 15, I'm just going to point out some of these things. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. How many of you have a mother who was there to cook and to take care of your family and provide those things for the household each and every day? She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. How many of our moms were an example of being a servant like Jesus to those around us who are in need? Proverbs 31:26, she opens her mouth with wisdom and teaching of kindness on her tongue. How many of your mothers do you remember as being kind and to share wisdom about life and the things that we needed to learn, the lessons we needed to learn about the world around us? She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Our moms, they work so hard. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. We love our moms, don't we? We love you so much, moms. We're so glad that we have a day like today where we get to celebrate you. And we learn these lessons from this Canaanite woman who didn't have any hope for anything but healing for her daughter, but showed her faith and her faithfulness to Jesus. Even the crumbs of Jesus' power were all she was desiring, just enough to help heal her daughter who was being oppressed. And that's the faith that we see in our moms. Well, this morning I want to offer an invitation. Maybe there's a need that you have this morning. Maybe there's something happening in your life where you're not feeling like you're sure you can press on. We want to pray with you and help you with that, whatever that need is. I'll be down here in the front, and one of our elders will be over on this side in the front. You can come, and we'll pray with you. If you have any kind of need, we want to ask that now is the time that you come and share that with us while we stand and while we